Please remember the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
We should be able to penetrate the internet.
Do I need to be liked? Absolutely not. I like to be liked. I enjoy being liked. I have to be liked. But it's not like this compulsive need to be liked, like my need to be praised.
Welcome to the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net.
And welcome to another edition of the Marquee Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net, WDVR. I am your host, Marquee Davis, coming to you live from the Palatial Palace here in Atlanta, Georgia. And unless you have been living under a rock for the last couple of weeks, well, last week actually, you know that President Trump has now been faced with articles of impeachment by the House of Congress. So, with this show, I want to try to inform you guys who are listening what the articles of impeachment mean, the process, who has been impeached, and what does it lead to? So let's begin with the actual definition of impeachment. So here in the United States, impeachment is pretty much defined as the action of calling into question the integrity or validity of something. So it's a charge of misconduct made against the holder of a public office. So this is covered in the Constitution. So, you know, that's my favorite document in the entire world is the Constitution. They have about four areas that specifically cover, you know, impeachment. So Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5 says that the House of Representatives have the sole power of impeachment. So as we just said before, impeachment is calling into question someone's integrity or a charge of misconduct made against a holder of a public office. So in Article 1, Section 3, Clause 6 and 7, it's pretty much telling you that the Senate has the power to try the impeachment. Let's figure out what that means. Okay, so when someone gets arrested, they go before a judge. The judge tries the case. So the police makes the charges. The charges are then brought before a judge, and the judge tries the case. So in this situation, you have the House, who are the police. They make the charges, and then they investigate, and then you have the Senate who tries the case. Now, the Senate listens to the case, but the case is presided over by the head of the Chief Justice. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court presides over the case. And Article 1, Section 3, Clause 6 and 7 also says that, and no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of two-thirds of the members present. So that means that two-thirds of the Senate have to agree and vote yes in order to oust a president or any member who is being impeached by the letter of the law. Article 2, Section 2 states that the president shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. So this means that the president can pardon anyone in the United States, okay? Grant a reprieve of anything in the United States, except for in cases of impeachment. So let's just say Secretary such and such gets impeached and President Trump wants to pardon him so that he doesn't spend any time in jail. Well, he can't. Constitution says it clearly right there that the president cannot pardon anyone who has been impeached. Now, if you want to refer back to Nixon, when Nixon was impeached, remember Nixon did not face the Senate committee that was presided over by the Chief Justice. He resigned before that happened. So Nixon was impeached, but he did not go through the entire process. So he was pardoned by who was the president after Nixon? Yeah, I was like, I don't know why that keeps eluding me. Well, I can't think of who was president after Nixon. But whoever was president after Nixon pardoned Nixon of all of his crimes because guess what? You know, He can do that. He wasn't impeached, so he can pardon him. Let's go to the real meat and bones here, all right? So Article 2, Section 4 states that the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, this is where it gets a little vague and foggy at right here, is on the other high crimes and misdemeanors. Okay, so that's not described as, you know, what it is. The Constitution doesn't define that. And that's why I love this document, because it allows us, the people who vote for the judiciary and the, well, not the judiciary, the legislators, correction, the legislators and the executives, you know, we vote for them so that they can in turn interpret what the Constitution is stating here. So let's look at what Alexander Hamilton said when he described the impeachable offenses. He said that they are the misconduct of public men, or in other words, from the abuse or violation of some public's trust. Well, okay, let's think about that. So it can be the misconduct of someone in public office, or it can be the abuse or violation of the public's trust. Okay. Draw your own conclusions, but that's interesting. We'll refer back to that when we talk about Clinton's impeachment process and Nixon's, as a matter of fact. Also, it's, you know, if you want to think about this a little, you know, more, the impeachment process also indicates that non-criminal activity may constitute grounds for impeachment. You know, think about when everybody thinks that Clinton was impeached because of, you know, Monica Lewinsky, but that's not true. But with the public thinking that, we all believe that President Clinton was impeached because of the sex he had in the Oval Office. You know, that's not the case, and we'll describe that later. But thinking about that and referring back to what Alexander Hamilton said about the violation of public trust, the Constitution gives us grounds to impeach on any crime or anything, pretty much, that could violate the public's trust or be thought of as misconduct within that office. So, before I give you my opinion on President Trump, which I'll do after the break, I'll let you know what I'm thinking about this whole current impeachment process after the break. Right now, I want to talk, give you just a little overview history, which we're doing, you know, we're having a little fun here. Because to me, this is exciting. You know, yes, I was alive when Clinton was impeached back in 98 and 99, but I wasn't following it. I didn't know anything about it. I was just getting in high school, you know. So, like right now, this is exciting to me. I love politics. I love the nuances and the verbiage that people use to try to get something over on everyone else. So, whew, let me hold that back. I don't want to give away too much before the break. So, let's look at the very first impeachment, okay? The impeachment of Andrew Johnson. So, he was impeached in February 24th of 1868. Well, what was he impeached for? Well, he had 11 articles of impeachment. The main charge against Johnson was the violation of the Tenure of Office Act, which was passed in March of 1867. So he vetoed that, okay? And he wanted to remove Edwin Stanton, the Secretary of War, and the act, the Tenure of Office Act, was designed to protect Edward Stanton. And he wanted to replace him with Major General Lorenzo Thomas. Well, people didn't like that. So they vetoed him. Became the first president to get, not vetoed, they impeached him. He became the first president to be formally impeached. And the articles of impeachment and everything moved forward. And the trial in the Senate began 3 days after that. So March 23rd to the 3rd, 2nd to the 3rd of 1868. And Chief Justice Salmon P. Chase was the presiding judiciary committee person over it. So, in May 16th, the Senate did not convict Johnson on any of the articles that were placed against him. So it was a vote of 35-19 in favor of conviction was not there because the two-thirds majority vote was not met by one single vote. No two-thirds majority vote. And that's the hardest part with anything in Congress is getting that two-thirds majority vote. So we see that one president has been impeached, Democrat Andrew Johnson. So let's see. Let's look at the next one. Next one was Richard Nixon. Now, Richard Nixon wasn't tried, as we stated earlier, but he was impeached. Okay. So he was placed under the impeachment process. Now, this all happened in 1973. We all know about Watergate. If you don't know about Watergate, go look it up. And you'll be shocked at some of the things that were trying to be pulled off by Richard Nixon and the Republican Party at that time when trying to find out information about the Democratic Party before the elections came up. Stuff, you know, it's a whole big thing. So Richard Nixon was impeached, but before he could go through the entire process of being impeached, he simply resigned. Now, reading an article earlier today about how the impeachment process with Richard Nixon is different than the one they have right now with President Trump. So this is what happened with Richard Nixon. All right. They had all of this information. They had a committee set up. They had tapes. They had investigators, all of this kind of stuff, you know. And so they began the process. And Richard Nixon was like, hey, evidence is too strong. I'm just going to go ahead and resign. All right. Now, if you guys really, you know, look into that process that they did, they kind of went the, you know, way of trying to make sure we have enough evidence, make sure we have enough witnesses, so that way we can actually solidify the charges that we have placed against him. So one of the charges, well, the three charges that they brought against Richard Nixon was obstruction of justice, abuse of power, and contempt of Congress. Now, this is where I, you know, my antennas start tingling up is when I read the charge of abuse of power. Okay. And it was President Ford who pardoned Nixon, by the way. President Ford. No, whatever. One of those presidents that nobody remembers. So Richard Nixon and the abuse of power is what I'm thinking they may try to use against President Trump. And again, I'm foreshadowing to the next segment of the show after the commercial break, because I just find it interesting that we are looking at the articles of impeachment and we are taking the high crimes and misdemeanors portion of said article. Which article was that again, people? Article 2, Section 4. And we are interpreting it as an abuse of power is a impeachable offense. Now, I can understand why they would say, yes, we should remove you from office because you are now abusing power, because we don't want to become a dictatorship. If we allow one president to abuse power in a substantial way, as in to push and force their way to do something because of the position they have, then yes, they are, you know, in essence, becoming a mini dictator. And by I say mini dictator, because they are now becoming, you know, my power is absolute. And you are going to do what I tell you to do, you know, and that's just not the way we run our government. Sorry to say it, just not the way we run the government. Let's go ahead and move on to Clinton's impeachment. So Clinton was impeached in 1998, October 8th. And he's the second president to actually go through the entire proceedings with an impeachment process. So the House formally adopted the Articles of Impeachment and forwarded them to the United States Senate in December of 1998. So this means that though they levied and initiated it on October 8th, they had all of the investigations and stuff that they needed. So they used the Star Jones report. I mean, the Ken Star Jones. Wow. The Ken Star report, the Star report. So like I was saying earlier, people think that Clinton was impeached because of having, you know, sex with Monica Lewinsky. No, that just came out during the impeachment process. What he was charged with was the specific charges against the president were lying under oath and obstruction of justice. And these came from the sexual harassment lawsuit filed by Paula Jones. So it's not about Monica Lewinsky. That came out during the impeachment process. So Clinton went through the initial impeachment process when the House pressed charges against him in October. And then they sent those charges to the Senate in December of 98. But Clinton was acquitted of the charges against him when the Senate did not get the necessary two-thirds majority vote. Again, the two-thirds majority vote, people, that is the hard part. That is the part that, you know, things get convoluted and stuck because you got these people trying to whip people into to a vote. You know, we need them out of here. Whip, whip, whip. You know, that's what the whip of the... Okay. We'll go over a basic, you know, Senate and Congress structure on who's who later. Yeah, but right now, we're not going to do that. Now, everybody thinks that those are the only three presidents who have been impeached. It's the truth. They are. But there have been efforts to impeach other presidents in the past. Every single president pretty much has had an effort or some type of, you know, congressman or senator saying, hey, we need to impeach him right now. We got to get him out of here. All right. So George W. Bush, in 2010. An effort was pushed by Congressman Dennis Kucinich. I don't know how to say that. And he had a co-sponsor of Robert Wexler. They introduced 35 articles of impeachment against President George W. Bush. All right. And the House voted 251 to 166 to refer the impeachment resolution to the Judiciary Committee on June 11th, where nothing happened after that. So Bush never faced formal impeachment. He never faced the formal impeachment process. This is George W. Bush, all right? You know, and these that the articles that Congressman Kucinich, Dennis, I don't know how to say that, and Wexler introduced were they were trying to get the justification for invasion, legitimacy for the invasion of the Iraq war, the conduct of the Iraq war, the treatment of detainees, the attempt to overthrow the government of Iran, the 2004 election, Medicare, Katrina, global warming, 9/11, just throwing stuff out there to try to get President George W. Bush impeached. Let's look at Barack Obama. He had some people who tried to impeach him and well. The same congressman, Congressman Dennis Kucinich, stated that Obama had engaged in impeachable activity and that he might face attempts to remove him from office. So let's see. Let's see some of the ones that Obama faced. Job offer to Pennsylvania Representative John Sestic. The immigration policy, the Libya intervention, the Benghazi attacks. The false claims of being born outside of the United States, the IRS targeting conservatives, debt ceiling crisis, the hearing on the president's constitutional duty, prisoner swap. Remember the prisoner exchange for the $400 million? You remember that? And the transgender bathroom thing, the directive that he placed for the transgender bathroom. So presidents face impeachment pretty much every time they make a decision. There's someone who doesn't like it and they move for articles of impeachment. But there's only been three presidents who have actually had the articles move forward, two which have only faced the Senate committee. Well, not the committee, the Senate, and had a vote on them. So, I mean, you got John Tyler, James Buchanan, Andrew Johnson, Ulysses S. Grant, Herbert Hoover, Harry S. Truman, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, we already talked about him. Donald Trump right now is the reason why we have some vice presidents who have faced impeachment investigations. Agnew, Cheney, Colfax, cabinet secretaries. You got Federal Reserve people. You got other officials like the collector of the Port of New York, United States Marshal, the U.S. District Attorney of New Jersey. Ambassador to Iran, whole bunch of people have faced potential impeachment investigations because guess what? It is used to remove any official from office. Let's just continue here for a little bit. So there are certain rules that were adopted by the House and Senate, and are pretty much tradition when it comes to the impeachment process. So the Jefferson's Manual, which is the integral, you know, it's like go right alongside the rules of the House of Representatives, states that impeachment is set in motion by charges made on the floor, charges preferred by a memorial, a member's resolution referred to a committee, a message from the president, or from facts developed and reported by an investigating committee of the House. So, as you saw with Nixon, what happened was the House had a committee who investigated, and then they pressed charges against Nixon. Same thing with Johnson. The House had a committee, they investigated, and they pressed charges. Same thing with Clinton. They had the Starr report already done, so the investigation was already done. It was an independent investigation. But they had the investigation, and they started the impeachment process. Right now, what the House of Representatives is pretty much doing when they are pushing these charges against President Trump is that they are using a Johnson approach, where they are trying to make the timeline as quickly as possible to keep it fresh, I guess, in everyone's mind. Because if you look at how they did Clinton and Nixon, it was kind of a drawn out process. It took months. And because of those months that it took, they couldn't get a 2/3 majority vote. Yeah, I understand what I'm saying? You know, with Johnson, they couldn't get a 2/3 majority vote, but the process was a lot quicker. Let me see if I can find this article real quick on President Johnson's impeachment. And it's interesting because the way that they are trying to, I want to just hold this off. I want to say it so bad how I feel about this impeachment, but I want you guys to continue listening to the show. I don't want you guys just to hear what I'm saying and then just like, oh, well, that's his opinion, so screw it. But anyway, okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to find an article. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. When we get back from the break, we're going to discuss that article real quick, and I'm going to give you my opinion on this recent development of the impeachment of President Donald Trump. You have been listening to the Markey Dirty 30. Stay tuned after the break.
What's DV Radio?
DV Radio is for you, the veteran, active duty service member, caregiver, and civilian supporter of the military. DVRadio.net is the online veteran network made for and by veterans. From original shows to syndication, you can find it here on DVRadio.net. In an effort to continue our mission and make better quality shows for each and every one of you, visit our Patreon at patreon.com/DVRadio. Whether you can only pledge $1 per month or that entire $1 million inheritance your uncle left you, there's a tier with rewards waiting for you. So why not keep DV Radio running and get rewarded at the same time? Head to patreon.com/DVRadio now. That's patreon.com/DVRadio.
Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the Markey Dirty 30 here on DVRadio.net, WDVR. Got a real quick time here. I got a short time here. So I'm going to quickly describe what these charges are that are being faced to on President Trump. So it stems from the allegation or the revelation, whichever word you want to use, that President Trump pushed the Ukraine's newest president, Vladimir Zelensky or whatever, to investigate his political rival, which would be Joe Biden and his son. So it's a whistleblower accusation that the White House then attempted to cover up. So this is the main reason why the Democrats are investigating President Trump and pushing for this impeachment process to happen. So what do I think? Well, you know, I've read the transcripts and what I'm seeing here is a lot of hearsay. You know, I'm not seeing any actual evidence. But again, let's look back at history. The Nixon impeachment was a lot of hearsay until actual evidence began to surface. So I'm holding back any type of real judgment until something credible is placed out there. You can think about the Mueller investigation and how people wanted to use that as a attempt to impeach with the collusion of the Russians. But then when the investigation was complete and we learned that nothing was in it, no charges were levied, nothing like that. So trying to figure out, you know, what's the end goal here? One thing I can probably think about is that ever since the impeachment process have been used, let me rephrase that because that was just a dumb way to phrase that, wasn't it? Whenever the impeachment process has been utilized, the next election, that political party's candidate does not win the election, or their successor does not win the election. Andrew Johnson did not win. His party did not win when he went for re-election. He retired and he went back home to Tennessee. Ulysses S. Grant won the election in, what was it, 1860-something. Bill Clinton, even though it was his second term and he wasn't running for re-election, Al Gore lost the 2000 campaign. You know, if you look at Richard Nixon, his successor, Gerald Ford, he didn't win the re-election. He lost to Jimmy Carter. So it doesn't bode well for President Trump in his 2020 campaign, because historically the public turns on the person who has been levied with impeachment and the entire process if it goes through. I'm going to tell you the truth. Donald Trump is a very stubborn individual, so he's going to see this through if it goes all the way to the Senate and has to have the trial, you know, pretty much. So, you know, this is completely hearsay right now, and it doesn't look good. But the words that, you know, people are saying weren't actually said. Like, Trump never said, "If you give me this, I'll give you that." That was never a quid pro quo or this for that type of exchange given. But then people are saying, well, it was inferred. Well, can you really use inferment in a court of law? You know, I understand the Constitution, as we went over in the first segment, is talking about, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors, which aren't defined. And so we have used, you know, the abuse of power as one of the high crimes and misdemeanors to levy articles of impeachment against other presidents in the past. Are we going to use that this time? Is the American Congress, the U.S. Congress, are they going to use abuse of power because of inference or, you know, quid pro quo? How are they going to word this? What information do they have that we aren't seeing as the public? That's why I'm holding off judgment. I don't know what was said. You know, yeah, a whistleblower came through. Yeah, the president in the White House tried to cover it up, which is in itself could be looked at as a high crime and misdemeanor because it's not defined by the Constitution. Again, I'm using this term high crime and misdemeanor because it's not defined. So anyone who's saying that, oh, well, nothing's going to happen of this, it might not. But the lasting effects is what's going to linger. See what I'm saying there? Okay. So even if President Trump goes through with the Senate and all of this stuff and he doesn't get voted out of office and he wins, you know, this impeachment process like Clinton did, like Johnson did, in 2020, when he runs for re-election, this is going to be fresh in everyone's mind. This is still going to be fresh. So President Trump may not win re-election because of this. Let's think about that for a minute, as opposed to just trying to say, oh, what is this hearsay, so it'll never go anywhere. Well, according to the Constitution, they can use this hearsay within this process. That's what they did with Nixon. They used the initial hearsay from, what was the guy's name who, somebody email me at MarquisADavis1 on Twitter or on Facebook or Instagram. Just find me somewhere and email me and let me know, what was the guy's name who blew the whistle on the Watergate scandal, which was initially just an article in some paper somewhere? I think it was LA Times, New York Times, who knows? Didn't want to research it. Don't care about it. but, you know, what was that guy? He was a whistleblower. He blew the whistle on the entire Watergate scandal, which then led to Nixon's resignation. You know? And then with the Starr report It was an investigation conducted because of cover-ups and lies and perjuries that was conducted by the president, President Clinton, against Star Jones. And then other information came out when the investigation was complete and pushed forward through the Senate when they had, I remember watching on TV President Clinton sitting there and they saying, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. You know, stuff like that. Then they had to define what is sex and what is relations and, you know, it was stupid. But, you know, it happened. And watching footage on YouTube, it was interesting. The whole world was watching. Right now, the whole world is watching what is going to happen with President Trump. You know, and I'm waiting to read and watch Nancy Pelosi's current news conference that she's going to have, or she's already had. I just got to find it and read it about this situation. Okay? It's just mind-boggling to think that we have people in this country who are so opposed to one man and his ideals that we are going to this extent to ruin the credibility of the office. Remember, you may not respect the man, but respect the office. If you served in the military, you may not respect the rank. I mean, you may not respect the person, but you respect the rank. Understand? And that's how I treat the president. I may not agree with everything Donald Trump does. It's a lot that I do agree with. But it may not be a lot that I, you know, agree with him on, but I still understand that he has an office. He has information that I'm not privy to. I don't know about. Same thing with right now in the Congress and this impeachment that's going on. They have information that we do not know. So let's hold off judgment until we get the entire picture. And with that, this has been the Marky Davis 3030 here on DVRadio.net. Man, this has just got my mind in just such a dizzy, tizzy, speedy effect thingy-majiggy. Oh, man. Hey, coming up next is Barrack Salt. And with that, I'm out of here. You guys have a good night.